Merlin's been attempting to do a bit of yoga every day to try and stimulate his underused muscles and also for whatever brief calm it could lend him. When Arthur tells him two other men are coming to stay, he finds he needs to do something to calm down. The gift of sight was not one he had been blessed with, but he doesn't need it to sense that this won't be good. As much as he doesn't like Arthur, he's aware he could have been held hostage by someone worse. Arthur hasn't shown much interest so far in beating or torturing him. He's even heeded his request for vegetarian meals. It doesn't make Arthur a good person, but it does make him a more desirable captor than the average magic hater. He doesn't have any details on this Val or Senrid, but he isn't holding out much hope they will be the live-and-let-live type. Arthur might not be interested in personally tormenting him, but it doesn't mean he'll stop the newcomers from doing it. Short of actually killing him, they might have free rein. It's not a pleasant thought process, which is why Merlin redoubles his efforts to find his inner peace when he hears the car pull up outside. He's in a half lotus when the footsteps on the stairs sound, but he remains where he is. And then there's an abrasive hooting noise, and despite his intention to stay calm, he jumps a little. There seems no point in pretending after that, so he gets to his feet and turns to face his intruders. One is a stocky, muscle-bound man with a round face and mean eyes. His companion is taller and leaner and dressed like a groupie of some unfortunate goth revival band. He searches their faces for a hint of empathy or humanity and comes up short. Fantastic. The stocky one makes some stupid crack, as if he hasn't heard people make fun of his appearance before. Edwin always said it was one of the greatest advantages he had, the way people underestimated him. He could always catch people off guard. Privately, Edwin had added that maybe more ghosts could take a leaf out of Merlin's book and stop stalking into rooms like the Queen of the Damned, which was unfortunately overheard by more ghosts and led to Edwin's eyebrows being singed off by a well-aimed fireball. Merlin has always found it to be an advantage, but right now he wishes he was bigger, more imposing, scary looking. He didn't like the anticipation in the men's eyes, like he was about to become their new favorite punching bag. "More boy band than superhero," the taller one says. "Seen those tattoos, Val? Maybe he thinks he's a hard man." The stocky one, presumably Val, snorts. "Pretty sure hard men don't get little fucking birdies inked on them." Merlin clenches his fists involuntarily. Senrid laughs. "Ooh, he's getting mad. Look!" "What's he gonna do?" Val says dismissively. "Bet he's useless even with his magic." "Take off the suppressor and see," Merlin bites out. Val's eyes narrow. "We should go over some stuff upstairs," Arthur says unnecessarily loud. "In a minute," Val says. He walks up to the cell. "You should show us some respect, Emrys. Me and Sen are sticking around a few days. You wouldn't want to get off on the wrong foot, would you?" "Piss off!" Merlin spits, infuriated. He's not going to cower at these men's feet, no matter what they threaten him with. "Oh dear," Val says acidly. "I think we're gonna have to teach him some manners, Sen." "Guys, this needs to be done now," Arthur interjects, gesturing towards the stairs. They both ignore him.
"I don't know you could teach magicals anything," Senrid muses. "I thought they were too stupid."
"You've got to train them like dogs, till they learn to obey."
Merlin flushes and Senrid laughs again. It's an oddly high-pitched sound, and it sets Merlin's teeth on edge.
"Here, doggy," he says, snapping his fingers through the bars of the cell. "Roll over and beg."
Merlin opens his mouth to say something obscene, but Arthur gets in first.
"Guys, upstairs. I'm not asking again."
Something in his tone carries this time because Val reluctantly turns away from the cell.
"All right, all right."
Arthur leaves the basement and Val makes to follow him. Senrid lingers.
"He's pretty, isn't he?" he says softly.
Something cold settles in Merlin's stomach. Val rolls his eyes.
"You always think they're pretty."
"The last one was pretty,"
Senrid says, his eyes fixed on Merlin.
I was almost sorry when I had to break his neck.
Merlin's hands are shaking, but he keeps them curled tight into fists.
Company motto, Sen. Only good magicals are dead magical.
Senrit giggles.
That's not the company motto, he says.
Well, it should be. Come on, say goodbye to Pretty Boy. You can see him later.
Bye, Pretty Boy, Senrit says slowly. I'll see you later.
Merlin stays upright until he hears the cellar door shut, and then he sits down heavily on the bed. His fingernails have been pressed so tight into his palms that they have left indentations. Senrit's trying to scare him. They both are. He's not going to fall for it. They are sadists, and sadists chase reactions. Merlin won't give them any. Arthur wouldn't let him do anything to him anyway. Surely. But Arthur only needs him alive. It doesn't technically matter what state he's in. The anxiety in Merlin's stomach increases, till he has to curl up on his side to alleviate it. He tries to remember the class at the Institute and what they said about dealing with people hostile to the magical cause.
Don't escalate the situation.
He's already done that.
Don't needlessly antagonize them.
He's done that too.
If possible, remove yourself from the location.
Not an option.
Find an ally.
Was Arthur an ally? In a bigger picture, obviously not. But in this new situation... Merlin doesn't know. But over the following few days, his attitude towards Arthur shifts somewhat. Merlin hates to admit it, but he feels safer when Arthur's around. He still doesn't like him. He still resents him for everything he's done. But he's currently the lesser of two evils by far. Val and Senrid are... Merlin doesn't want to be scared of them, but he is. It's not just that Val reminds him of every schoolyard bully he's ever known, mean and thuggish and prone to violent outbursts. It's not just the way Senrid's eyes crawl across Merlin's body, unashamedly lascivious as his lips form the words pretty boy. It's the fact that they could do anything to him and he's powerless to stop them. He's never been much of a threat without his magic. Morgose insisted on trying to teach him self-defense back at the Institute, but she wasn't a very patient tutor, and he grew tired of going home every day with bruises all over him. His body just didn't work like that. He kept himself fit and healthy, but it was running he concentrated on, not bulking up. He figured speed would be a better attribute than brute strength if he found himself in a sticky situation. But if he was honest, he hadn't thought that much about it at all. He always knew he had his magic to fight back with, and he was powerful enough with that alone that he could afford to neglect his physical strength. He's got nothing now. He could have blasted Val and Senrid into the next dimension with a single word in normal circumstances, but the ankle tag renders him close to useless. Freya always said strength didn't come from physical prowess or even from magic. She would scold Merlin for deeming himself useless. But right now, he feels it. He can't stand the fact that Val and Senrid are calling all the shots. And they love it. They love to lord it over him, to sit on a table outside his cell and tell out mocking jokes, to steal bits of his food before they hand it over. And when they're not making fun of him, they're trying to intimidate him, sharing stories of the terrible things they've done to magicals over the years, banging the bars of his cell suddenly so that he jumps, threatening to come in and give him something to cry about. It sets his nerves on edge. He hates being mocked when he has no recourse to reply, but the stories about the other magicals are worse. It makes him feel physically ill to listen to some of them. He spent his whole life hearing horror stories about people like Val and Senrid, and now they're his jailers. And the fact that they've succeeded so well in frightening him is even harder to stomach. Maybe that's why he tells Val to fuck off. He's just sick of feeling helpless. It's in response to some stupid joke Val makes about his Merlin tattoos, and he regrets it almost the second it's out of his mouth. Val turns slowly in the act of taking his empty lunch plate out of the cell. What was that?
Merlin's hands are trembling slightly, but he balls them into fists because he refuses to back down now.
I said, fuck off.
Senrid makes a kind of whooping noise from the table.
Whoo! Kitten's got claws! Val ignores him, his eyes narrowing dangerously.
I'll give you one chance to take that back.
Silence. Val drops the plate and takes two quick steps forward. Merlin sees the fist coming, but he can't do more than try and brace himself before it drives into his stomach and shocks the air out of him. He drops to his knees, wheezing. Val kicks him full force in the side. It's so painful that for a moment, Merlin's vision whites out. The momentum of the kick carries him onto his back, and he lies there, gasping for breath, close to blacking out from the agony. He can't hear what Val says next, but he feels it when something warm and wet lands on his cheek, and it takes him a second to realize that he's not actually crying. Val's spat on him. He's vaguely aware of Val leaving the cell, but he lies on his back for a long time, unable to move. It hurts to breathe, and it hurts to think, and he hates them. He hates everything. He hates Arthur. He hates... Gradually, the blinding pain reduces to a throbbing ache, and he's able to lever himself up and climb onto the bed. He wipes the spit off his face and refuses to let the tears threatening at the back of his eyes fall. Worse things have happened in his life. Hell, he's even taken harder hits than that before. Some of the marches in Washington got vicious, and there was an incident where a cop in full riot gear slammed his baton into Marlin's side and broke two of his ribs. He'd had no medical insurance out there, and so his friendly hippie roommate had kept him high for the next 3 days as the only form of pain relief on offer. He doesn't think things will be any better here on the medication front. He's just going to have to tough it out. He can do that. He's been doing it all his life. Endure. Luckily, Arthur doesn't leave the house the next day, and Val and Senrod seem to spend most of it in front of the TV, if the raucous laughter that drifts down through the ceiling is any indication. But the next afternoon, Val and Senrod come downstairs not long after lunch and settle themselves at the table. He tries to hang on to his newfound semblance of fortitude, to remind himself he survived worse and lived to tell the tale. But it's hard to stay calm when the sources of his stress are set 3 meters away playing cards and drinking beer. He surmises from their conversation that Arthur's gone out for a walk. They don't say much more about Arthur, but their tone is not exactly complimentary. Not for the first time, Merlin wonders about the interpersonal relationships at play here. He has no idea what role Senrod and Val fulfill in whatever mysterious company Arthur works for, but he's guessing it's some kind of heavy work. The stories they tell fit the idea of them being hired thugs. He can only hope some of the things he's heard have been exaggerated for his benefit. Either way, there doesn't seem to be much love lost between them and Arthur. He wonders why. They're all on the same side after all. The side that happens to be against Merlin and everything he stands for. He knows he's more vulnerable when Arthur's not there. However, Val and Senrod seem wrapped up in their own conversation for the time being. He keeps his back to them and tries not to draw any attention to himself. Until he realizes he needs to use the bathroom. Asking them is not an option. It's an invitation to something awful, and Merlin's not that stupid. And yet... He tries to ignore the growing pain in his bladder. How long would Arthur be out for? If he could just hang on until he came back, until Senrod and Val left the cellar. He waits as long as he can, and Arthur still doesn't arrive. This is ridiculous. Steeling himself, he gets off the bed. His side still aches in protest every time he moves, and he has to grit his teeth against the pain. He's limping slightly as he walks up to the bars, but he's on his feet, and that's enough. Endure. I need to use the bathroom, he says clearly, and is pleased by the nonchalance of his voice. But he can't stop the shiver of anxiety that runs through him when Val and Senrod exchange a look. But then Senrod walks over, unlocking the door without a fuss.
Sure, no problem,
he says, beckoning Merlin forward to untie his hands and drop the rope onto the floor. When Merlin steps out of the cell, Senrod's hand closes around his arm. They start to walk in the direction of the toilet, and then Senrod suddenly stops by the table. Merlin tries to carry on going, but Senrod jerks him backwards and down into one of the chairs. As though it was choreographed, Val appears behind him, cuffs dangling from his fingers. Varan tries to get up again, but Senrod pins him, and Val yanks his arms around the back of the chair before securely cuffing them again. Merlin tries to stay calm.
"I just need to go to the bathroom," he says as evenly as possible.
Senrod smiles wide.
"So, go,"